chapter 6. And read verse 31. We've been looking at this past several weeks about the golden rule. And verse 31, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." And we've been looking at how we can make this happen by the environment that we cultivate in our heart. We've dealt with the fact that our hearts, our affections must be set upon God if we're going to obey this command. We got to get our mind right, because this, you know, when you talk about dealing with people after this manner, you're dealing with people that hate you. There are plenty of people that hate the name of Christ, that hate the gospel of the grace of God, that hate the Word of God, and would love nothing more than to see your demise. But you've got to go beyond. Your heart's got to be such that you've got to have the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To be able to deal with them in grace, even though they mean evil to you. That's hard. Very difficult. And then the mind. I mean, we've got to get our mind in tune with the Lord's. Philippians chapter 2, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." If you're going to fulfill this golden rule in your interactions with others, your mind has to be running along the same channel as the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to deal with people whose minds are polluted with sin. And last week, we also looked at our will. This involves, this whole mindset, this whole way of life, it involves a determinate choice on your part to determine to do what Jesus says here. "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." That takes a determinate choice on our part. But tonight, we're going to deal with an aspect of that I really struggle with. And that is our speech must be guided by the golden rule. I'm sarcastic sometimes. I kid around way too much. I know it's part of my personality, and part of it is just my wife rubbing off on me all these years. That has something to do with it too. But our speech has to be guided by the golden rule, "as ye would." And I think we've got to realize tonight that we don't live in a vacuum. Your words have an impact, an influence, either for good or evil, way beyond what you think they do. Our speech can have a profound effect on our environment. Our speech can either make a place pleasant or hostile. "Every idle word that a man shall speak, he shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things." See, how you talk, how you speak, reveals a lot about what is going on inside. And I believe God's going to hold us accountable. I mean, that's a pretty high standard, isn't it? Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof. Now, I'll apply it to me. I know that I've said idle words. I've said words that are vain, that are not worth anything. And we've got to be careful. Because we're going to give an account. Everybody is going to stand before God and give an account for what they've said. And I think of lost people that whose speech, think about the speech of Karl Marx, Charles Darwin, the popes down through the years who have promoted work salvation. They're going to be held accountable for their speech. Politicians that lie, that will do anything to maintain their power, tell you anything in order to get a certain law passed. I remember when Obama said with his Obamacare that it would mean a $2,500 savings for every average family. That was back in 2008. I haven't seen a nickel of that yet. My insurance has gone up from $350 a month back in 2008 to about $1,100 a month. So you're talking about an $800 upward thing, and then you got to figure in all the $2,500. You know, I'm waiting for a check from Obama for about $30,000. That was idle words that he spoke in order to get socialized medicine at least a foothold in the United States. And it's caused the health system to go haywire in prices. Every idle word. People that preach a false gospel are going to be held accountable. You and I, who know the truth, are going to be held accountable for not speaking it boldly, for not telling other people the truth of the gospel as the only way of salvation. This is such a sticky subject, a difficult one to obey. And I think it's one of the reasons why there are so many warnings in the Bible aimed at regulating our speech, how we talk, what we say. Look over at Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. Let me ask you something. As you're practicing the golden rule and the way it affects your speech, when was the last time you made this kind of confession and resolution? I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. If you're going to practice this, this has to be real. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Wow. Have you been taking heed to your words? Turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. These are very familiar passages, but ones that need to be reviewed from time to time, because if we're going to cultivate an environment where we do unto others as ye would, then we got to have mouths and speech that is regulated by the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look. God hates pride. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift to running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. I count at least three in this short list that have to do with speech. A lying tongue, a false witness, and sowing discord. Okay. Mark all that off on your list. If I'm going to live according to the golden rule, then I can't lie to people. I cannot practice, I cannot have a lying tongue. You know who the author of all lies? You trace it all back. Jesus said it's your father, the devil. Satan is the father of all lies. And then a false witness. Oh, there are a lot of false witnesses that gossip, that tell tales, that perjure in order to further their cause, if you will. I think there's a lot of false witnesses in our government, in our intelligence agencies. I mean, they lie. That's part of how they get information, is by lying and deceiving. They're going to be held accountable for that before God. And then he that soweth discord among brethren. Division. I don't know a time that I can, in my lifetime, when we've had more racial division. And I don't think it's on the part of white people. I think there's been a lot of really trying to instigate all this talk of white supremacy and stuff like that. That's nonsensical. I've never met a white supremacist in the United States of America. But the media, everybody else, they're trying to sow discord. They want black people to think that white people are out there hunting them down. It's not right. It's wicked. When you sow that kind of discord, and politicians are doing it day in and day out, the media is doing it, and it's causing hostility and hatred. I mean, a year ago, if people that are crazy hear this stuff all the time, some black dude got in his SUV and mowed down a bunch of dancing grannies in that Waukesha, Wisconsin parade. He was fed up with white people. You know, the narrative of what they've been doing. He ran down several grannies and killed them. Now, I hold him personally responsible because I believe he is the perpetrator of the crime. He was a murderer, and it was a hate crime. But you know, I believe people that fuel that kind of rage are going to be held accountable by God for sowing discord. We've got to be careful that we are not instigators of sowing that kind of discord where it brings about racial hatred, because it's destructive. And we're seeing it in our country like never before. Now, let me ask you this. These are very practical questions on how to apply this. Do you want people, as they deal with you, to tell you lies? Do you want people to tell you tales? Do you want folks to gossip, start rumors, mock, or be hateful and mean-spirited when they talk to you, when they interact with you? And you say, well, of course not. Well, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also unto them likewise. You want to promote harmony, peace, the gospel, grace, then you can't be a liar. You can't spread gossip. You gotta govern your speech. Look over at James chapter 3. A whole chapter basically is devoted to what happens when you don't get your tongue under control. Chapter 3, verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell. He says in verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Then he goes on to show how inconsistent it is for somebody who says that they're saved to talk, where it says, verse 9, therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Now, you say, well, who's he talking to? Us! Brethren! Because we got a problem. We don't bridle our tongues like we ought to. You know, this is us. This is dealing with us. How we talk. How we present ourselves. And I believe that we all need to have real conviction about how it's inconsistent for us to bless God on Sunday and then speak evil on Monday. And he goes on to say, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his good conversation of his works with meekness of wisdom. The aim here is not to beat you down with so much guilt over what you say and what you think, but the aim is start thinking before you talk. What's the Lord pleased with? And what is acceptable to God as we interact with men? Folks, like I told you when I started this tonight, this is something I struggle with. I'm a preacher, and yet there are times I'm way too sarcastic. And it you can hurt people with your words. You can do a lot of damage if you lie on people in order to get them in trouble. Now, thank God, God has given me grace. When I was a kid, my mother used to, I'd get caught in a lie, and I took some severe beatings. I tell you, when my mom caught me, I wasn't very bright. I just didn't learn. I tell you what, when the Lord saved me, He put it in my heart to tell the truth, even when it hurts. May God help us. That verse in Psalm 19, I'd urge every one of you to memorize it. Let the word, verse Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, I'm addressing you tonight from a point of, in an area where I know that I definitely need work. I wonder how you feel. I wonder if your speech, how you're talking to other people, is it acceptable unto the Lord? This is the only way we're going to be able to fulfill this command. One more passage to show you how we can get this right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Here's how you make application. Instead of lying, bearing false witness, saying wicked things, don't let anything that's vile or corrupt or sinful come out of your mouth. Instead, replace that with words that build up, that edify, that minister grace. What's the greatest thing that ministers grace to people? The gospel. The way of salvation. The gospel of the grace of God. Everybody you know ought to know that you are a believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that you want them to be saved by the power of the gospel. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Okay? Here's the formula to get your speech right. Get all that out. It's all poison. It's no good. It's filth. It's corrupt. Get rid of all that. And verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. What a standard. Powerful motivations here to regulate our speech. May God help us. Because we're going to give an account for how we've used our tongue. All right.